Right, shall we go?
Yeah. Shall I start?
Three.
Hi everyone, and welcome to the Queer Budapest podcast. I'm Zsuzsanna, a curator and researcher.
And I'm Thomas, an artist and curator. Together we run Queer Budapest, a platform for promoting queer Hungarian art and artists.
In this series, we are going to host discussions between artists we see as being at the forefront of the queer Hungarian creative scene, the state of the art scene, and the issues that LGBTQ plus artists are currently facing.
In this episode, before we dive into all of that, we're going to take time to introduce ourselves, discuss our work, and most importantly, what Queer Budapest is and where we see it going in the future. So, Zsuzsanna, why don't you introduce yourself to the listeners?
Thank you, Thomas. I spent my past 2 years in London studying and working there. I was studying at St. Joseph and Martins. I think you're familiar with the institution.
Yeah,
am I right?
I'm also one of those people.
I studied exhibition studies. It was a research master. So basically I had a research topic throughout these 2 years, which I had to dive into.
And what was the topic?
It was about alternative art institutions in Hungary between 2010 and 2020. And okay, I wrote my dissertation.
So specifically looking at the kind of like Fidesz period of Hungarian political landscape.
Specifically.
Okay. Cool.
And then, and then I was working in the Victoria and Albert Museum for 1.5 years, and I moved back to Hungary partly due to the coronavirus in March 2020. Mm-hmm. And now we are here.
And what were the other reasons for you moving back to Hungary? Because obviously the coronavirus was a big one, but were there any other like kind of reasons that you wanted to go back?
Yeah, absolutely. That's a good question. Yeah, I was thinking a lot actually in the past year. I thought that it would be better to have my headquarters in Hungary,
empire from Magyarország.
Exactly. I have a past, a professional past with the country, obviously. I studied here for my BA, as well as I had been working.
Did you do for your BA? What was your BA?
Oh, it was art history, classic.
Oh, in Budapest.
Mm-hmm. ELTE.
Fabulous.
Yes. I'm very arty here.
Yeah, I know. Well, clearly. Would hope so. So, obviously, I know your research, but other people don't. So, do you want to tell us more about your individual research? Because you're a really talented researcher, like, could you sort of like just tell us more about what your research looks into?
Oh, do you think about my MA research?
Yeah, your MA research. And kind of like your own like personal research, or like where it's going and like what you're currently looking at, I suppose.
Mm-hmm. Well, I'm very interested in still in institutions which are kind of considered NGOs in here in Hungary. How do they deal with the altered circumstances of the art scene? As well as I'm kind of interested in the philosophical background of all the neoliberalist and populist countries of our times, and how can this change, or is there a chance to be changed?
What would you say is a way for it to change? Do you think grassroots kind of activism is a way to kind of change the system, or do you think we kind of need like complete and utter structural change?
Well, I think both, but for a first step, the grassroots initiatives seem to be like a sort of a first step to change the whole structure, and also thinking not comparing us to the center countries like the UK or the US or Germany, but like building upon our history and kind of do institutions based on our past rather than other countries' past.
Okay, so a kind of really kind of specific Hungarian grown movement.
Yeah, a specific post-socialist country kind of thing.
So with that kind of like, where would you say kind of like the notion of European kind of solidarity would come into it? You know, that kind of thing, you know, do you think there's ways for countries, especially now with, especially like in the UK, becoming so politically isolated because of Brexit, and Hungary in its own way becoming more politically isolated than ever because of policies and things like that. How do you think solidarity and your own cooperation kind of comes into helping, not rebuild, I don't think rebuild is the right word, but kind of like liberate and kind of remove this sort of far-right tendency from the political spectrum?
I think there are many good examples for that kind of collaboration between Central European and East European countries. For example, Off Biennial has its own connections as well as transit.hu. And and also the Young Artists Association, which I was recently involved. I just been involved. How can I say that? I'm part of the association now. Okay.
So, what did I do?
Je exist, stopped working. Okay, so what I was going to say is that there are nice international European connections between countries for young artists and young curators or theoreticians to do and go abroad, experience stuff like that. So there are a couple of things.
So I think to kind of like bring it more back to the Queer Budapest, where do you think Queer Budapest as a platform, as a kind of like an idea, working with queer artists independently, grassroots, self-funded, where do you think that kind of sits in to the conversation around activism? Like, would you say that what we're doing is activism?
Well, yeah, I think definitely in a way that what we are doing is activism. We should consider that as an activism because it's very, very different from Western countries. I mean, the term of being queer or being an LGBTQ artist is very different to be in Hungary compared to the UK or the US.
Yeah, because that's something that I've so it's definitely really, learned.
Yeah, it's a really political term in a way.
Yeah.
But I think it's a very good example for this, what you were asking before, the connection or the collaboration between countries and LGBTQ or specifically queer artists of the UK and Hungary in this case. And I think it definitely has a future. I mean, in this way, where I think we can elaborate more on the topic which I think in Hungary hasn't really been discussed.
Yeah, like definitely, it's something that I definitely learned coming from a very Western sort of position, you know. I don't like you know, I'm not from the same like background politically, yeah. You know, kind of, or like rather than my the country doesn't have the same like kind of like same fraught political like coming through, like, you know, like the UK never had to fight for independence, you know.
Exactly. So,
and also like, you know, queer art and LGBTQ plus art has kind of thrived in a sort of way, especially in like the large metropolitan centres. So it was definitely a learning curve for learning how much of a stance we were making by doing this sort of exhibition.
Mm-hmm.
And especially with, you know, like with recent policy decisions that have been made and constitutional changes. But I was just wondering, where do you see yourself within like the queer community?
I don't think I can answer this question. I mean, do you mean the Hungarian queer community?
Yeah, or like the wider queer community, you know, like do you consider yourself to be like an ally, like a supporter?
But definitely. I really want to be part of the community, please. Please take me in.
Well, I think you are. Yeah. No, I was just, it's just like, you know, because there could be some questions people ask, like, why would a, you know, sort of like an English person and then like a queer ally be creating this platform for Hungarian queer artists?
Mm-hmm.
So I suppose the question, I suppose we can put that question to both of us, like simply, why are we doing this?
Yeah, of course. You know, but, yeah.
I mean, I think I'm doing this because largely through you, I saw that there was a real thriving, vibrant queer community in Hungary that just didn't seem to be getting enough attention as it should be. You know, like the art market or like the people's art interests seem to be really revolved around London, Paris, you know, Barcelona and Berlin. And we're kind of ignoring the kind of like creative power that people say in, you know, like old Eastern Bloc or Central European countries that are currently like that currently exist, like especially in Hungary. You know, like I was shocked and surprised to see like how much independent art and independent kind of art spaces and all were running. And exactly. I also think it's important to kind of use my privilege as being able to be open and be queer as I like and in this country and use that to enable other artists of the same kind of creed to have like that same opportunity.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
Plus also it's just, I think there's just a lot of really cool art right now in Hungary that just like kind of needs to be seen by a wider audience.
Exactly.
So that's kind of like my motivation behind it.
Yeah.
So I suppose like the same question to you, like why do this?
Well, I first encountered queer community and queer art in London. It's a funny thing. But having to know this other scene or other part of the art world, made me feel more more confident in being myself, and I've just started thinking and started doing the research whether if we have this kind of thing in Hungary as well, and it was really, really shocking. And yeah, it made me feel really happy about when I started to realize that there are actually queer artists here. It's just that no one's really talking about it in a way that it has been happening in the UK for example, for years.
The conversation just hasn't developed in that kind of way.
Exactly. Exactly. And I feel felt the urge maybe to elaborate more on that in a curatorial or sense.
Yeah. So I suppose you're doing the work.
I am. Literally.
I mean, like you said something interesting. You found like kind of like the ability to be more confident, I suppose.
Yeah.
And do you think like the queer community in general is a more supportive, more encouraging environment than a non-queer kind of environment, I suppose?
I think so, definitely. Yeah. You know, when studying at CSM, you just can't ignore the non-binary, the queer, the liveliness and open-mindedness of the art within students and within teachers. So it was really like a fascinating new thing to learn compared to my BA studies in here in Budapest.
Which is I suppose more traditional, which was more traditional.
Of course. Was it more traditional? Yeah, more conventional.
Conventional.
Yeah. And the whole art scene within the Central St. Martin's community or around that, like for example the Inferno London people, they just kind of showed me another way to do things. Think outside the box, maybe.
Would you say a more radical sort of way?
Yeah, it's just in a way radical, but I would also say it's just saying out loud what you think in an artistic way, whether you are a curator or a performer or a other kind of artist.
Wow, that sounds fabulous.
Thank you. But I feel so happy I'm saying fabulous things to you. Let's turn to you, Thomas, shall we? Could you please introduce yourself to the audience?
I can try.
Please.
I'm Thomas. Hello, from Thomas. London, and I'm an artist. Became a curator this year, I suppose, fully fledged. I studied BA Fine Art at Central St. Martin's, where I specialised in time-based media, so specifically film and performance. And my practice kind of evolved over time, but over time I became more interested in looking at kind of sexually charged environments and kind of like the links between sexuality and architecture, you know, like looking how architecture informs sexuality and sexuality informs architecture. So like whether that's in like the kind of public realm through the history of an ongoing practice of cruising, which is predominantly men having sex with men in public spaces, and how that kind of changes and like kind of has a transgressional way towards public space, but also looking at kind of dark rooms and nightclubs and sex spaces and seeing kind of like exploring them and seeing what the psychology of it is and the sociological aspects of it all. And then that's really it for me artistically. It just sounds like I'm just interested in sex.
No. That's fine. No, it's actually really...
Which is kind of true.
Well, yeah, partly true. It's really interesting, a topic. It's interesting and it also sounds very specific. How did you arrive to this research that you want to do, this specific research?
How did I arrive at this point?
Yeah.
I think it was, I've always been interested in, like nightclubs and like these sort of like darkened spaces, these sort of like a very sexually charged spaces, like even before the, like looking at them in terms of research or artistically, like, you know, like going and experiencing them, you know, and like, obviously, you know, when like you're involved in it and you're doing it, then it, you know, like you're a creative person, you want to be able to explore that and express it in a kind of way. I suppose it kind of became a way of wanting to take the experience and design of those spaces out, like kind of out of that, and put it in another space, you know, so like other people can experience that mindset, you know. And then it kind of led into it, like for kind of led into the idea of me looking at the fact that, like, you know, these spaces really are more about the people as opposed to a room, a light, a music. It's more of a feeling. And then I kind of like started to look into it more and more, and like start exploring architectural theory, like especially people like Beatrice Colomina, and then there was artists like Paula Steve, and there was an exhibition called The Cruising Pavilion, I believe, at the 2018 Venice Biennale, that kind of, they explored cruising and architecture.
Mm-hmm.
And it kind of showed me that there was this sort of, there was a way to like look at it, and there was other people looking at this, because before it kind of felt like I was walking around in the dark. You know,
wow.
because it is a really, really niche kind of thing, because you're kind of working with something intangible, with like fleeting moments, you know. You're trying to work with something, you're trying to document a moment that you shouldn't really document, you know.
Exactly. Wow. Fantastic. And do you consider, is it a more research thing, or do you consider it as an active art project? Like,
I see it as both.
Both. Mm-hmm.
It's definitely I think right now it's definitely research. You know, coronavirus kind of killed off certain ways to present certain things.
Absolutely.
So it was definitely, so like, it definitely like is more research at the moment. So it definitely is more research at the moment. Like, yeah. I did a lecture for the Oxford University Art Society in May. It was called Sex Now, and kind of explored how sex is in relation to architecture, the changing ways in which we're building cities, like the closure of clubs, the closure of LGBTQ spaces, is impacting, you know, the ways gay men have sex, and, you know, and it's kind of like led to it being moving online, being like facilitated by private like gaming companies that run apps like Grindr and Scruff and Hornet and things like that,
and the Zoom parties,
Zoom chem sex parties, yeah. So that's, yeah, so I see it's very much ongoing.
Do you think it will radically change in the future, like partly due to coronavirus, or it will just go back as it was?
I think in terms of like queer clubbing and queer going out and that sort of thing.
Or in general?
I think it will change. I think it will change. Radically. But I think what we've seen really is like how much people are yearning for that to go, like for those spaces again, you know, for like those, you know, to be out till like 10 in the morning, you know, kind of like in a darkened space with hundreds of topless, semi-naked people, with like really loud music, you know. It was something we almost kind of like took for granted before, you know. Because now, you know, we've seen them shuttered, and especially like London's been going through a very hard time in terms of rising rent, and gentrification has been closing down these venues. So I think that we'll need to keep supporting like these independent nightlife venues, which are so vital, I think, to the queer experience. You know, like it's like a meeting place. It's where you can convene. It's where, you know, not to be like, you know, kind of use like the corny, overused phrase, but like, you know, like it's really like the first time that you can discover like there is a community out there, you know, especially if you come from like a small town or a rural town, you know. So I think it's something that we're going to need to continue to support.
Mm-hmm.
Otherwise, you know, the city's just going to become luxury apartment blocks for rich bankers to run around in.
Yay.
No, never.
Bright future.
Dystopian futures.
Absolutely. Do you think queer communities have a future in the isolated new UK with new government? Especially, I'm thinking of, for example, the austerity amendments Boris Johnson made during in June, I guess, and it's a very same thing which our government did.
I think the queer community always has a future.
Mm-hmm.
I think now more than ever it is up against the government.
Mm-hmm.
You know, like, because there's two, I think, not to generalize, the queer community is one kind of like monolithic political block.
Mm-hmm.
Because, you know, it isn't. But I think in general, I think what the current UK government is doing is very much against the strides that the queer community have made.
Mm-hmm.
Like, you know, and I don't think political isolation serves anyone. You know, no good can come of Brexit for anyone unless you're the super rich. But I think the queer community has a future, and with anything, I think it's going to make the community more radical, more politically engaged.
So
I think definitely like more politically engaged, more radical, and like ready to kind of like take on this kind of this government, which seems to be only interested in serving itself.
Hmm. So do you think we can say that regardless it has a history, the word or term being queer in the UK, regardless of this fact, can we say that being queer or being a supporter of LGBTQ+ and queer people is once again becoming an activist kind of thing, or both in Hungary and the UK?
I can probably speak more of it from the UK side, but I don't think it ever stopped being something that was political.
Mm-hmm.
Or activist in a kind of way. You know, to kind of be queer, I think, is a political act. It's so against the heteronormative standard, it's so against the binaries, it's so against the norm. It's kind of forging one's own path and allowing oneself to self-identify.
Mm-hmm.
And being an open, active LGBTQ+ supporter and ally is political in itself, because you're choosing to kind of support, you're choosing to support people who are, you know, politically oppressed or more politically sidelined than yourself. So it's political because you're choosing to take your own privilege and help someone else, I suppose.
Sure.
Yeah.
Yeah. Thomas, so you worked remotely for the Queer Budapest. First exhibition happened in Budapest.
First exhibition, only the first one.
It was just the start.
It's just the start. It's a marathon, not a sprint.
How could you prepare, and what were your priorities as a co-curator for the exhibition and for the research, and what was your process?
I mean, I think I always start something with a very clear image in my head of what I want it to be or what I want it to look like, if that makes sense.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, the plan was not to work remotely. You know?
Oh yeah, I remember now.
I think like each month we kept having a conversation, and I was like, okay, so I'm gonna book a flight next month because it should be fine.
Yeah, I know.
And then it kind of became like a roller coaster from hell where Zoom became our best friend.
But we remained hopeful. I mean, still.
We remain hopeful. That's all we've got. My process is as a curator is always to like find the right people.
Mm-hmm.
And that in terms of like people who share the same kind of vision, people who are talented and need to be seen by other people, you know, like you just see like such talent in people, and you're like, people need to see what you're doing.
Mm-hmm, definitely.
Yeah. I think for me, this was all about creating a community and creating a space and allowing queer artists to have a space where they could show amongst their peers in a way that didn't question what queerness was, but allowed each person to kind of like define their own term of what it meant to them. So it was definitely interesting co-curating an exhibition remotely.
So it was definitely something
like that.
You even did an Instagram talk on the exhibition.
Yes, I did do that. So I think it was kind of like just to make sure that people knew that I wasn't just a distant kind of person behind a laptop. You know, like, that was actually kind of like doing something. But so I did like a talk. It was just more about like the exhibition, introducing some of the artists and really like what I thought of the exhibition, because I think it was such like a defining moment, especially because there were so many times that like we thought that this exhibition, we were just like, it's not going to happen. Oh my God, we can't do it. and then the next hour we were like, no, we can do this. So I think it was almost like a sigh of relief. Like as soon as the doors opened, I think we were both like, oh my God.
Exactly.
It was only a couple of days before the exhibition opened that we were writing like a PR statement saying, yeah, like, we're sorry this can't go ahead because we thought the government was going to close the doors and everything.
Oh my God, I was about to cry at that moment. Yeah, it was literally the night before the exhibition or something like that.
I think it was like a couple of days before or the night before or something.
Yeah. And literally after the exhibition, the government announced that everything just has to have to shut down.
I mean, we timed it well. We timed it well.
Absolutely.
But I think like what was overwhelming was like the response from people.
Oh well, shall we introduce first the Queer Budapest to the audience?
I think so. Yeah, let's do it.
Yes. Yes. So, Queer Budapest was an exhibition, actually, realized from the 7th to the 8th, so it was basically 2 days in November.
Yeah, 2 days in November. But I think we started talking about it in March,
something
wasn't it?
Like that, yeah. The research...
I mean, we started talking about doing something in March, and then it was in August that we were both like, let's kick this off, let's do it.
Yeah, when we arrived at that point where we just could
realize we had something.
Yeah, we actually had something and just started to approach, basically, people.
Yeah. I mean, so like it was definitely like conceived as an, it was definitely conceived as an exhibition. It was always going to be a group show of different people, of varying different artists. What I found was like one of the most like interesting processes in doing that exhibition was the way in which we like sort of found the artists, and also through like the open call, like, you know, like we're finding like artists through that way so people could put their work in.
Absolutely.
Because I think it was important that we didn't just come into this as just like selecting certain people.
Yeah, it wasn't a top-down kind of thing.
No, I think we did it kind of horizontally.
Yeah. At least we tried.
Pardon?
At least we tried.
That's
up to the visitors to decide. But we tried our best.
100%. But you know, like the way we found people through one artist would say, oh, I've got these friends who are really good.
Yeah.
And then it kind of like looked like that. And then it was kind of like, okay, so.
Yeah. In this way, it unfolded itself, Queer Budapest.
And then that's when I started to think like, oh, Queer Budapest is a lot bigger than just an exhibition. You know, it means a lot more to people. You know, this is potentially like the first time they're having their paintings or their work shown alongside other queer artists, and they're proudly putting it under the banner of queer.
Absolutely. Yeah, because one of our aims was that, not to showcase like well-established artists who might be engaged with either gay or queer or just basically LGBTQ+ issues of the country, but to showcase artists who are engaged in this topic but just hasn't had the chance before to exhibit, specifically because of the issue that we mentioned before, that this kind of topic in a curatorial sense just hasn't really been discussed or
almost taboo.
Yeah,
and I think what we said from the beginning was like, if we're gonna like kind of do this, we can't shy away from anything, you know, like we kind of have to be, it has to be here, it's queer, and we're going to be like proud of it.
Exactly.
And we're going to present it like any other exhibition.
Exactly.
You know, and it was definitely, I think it was definitely like a wake up call for me to see like how hard it can be to do sort of things like this. You know, when like you're asking, like, you know, when you're asking people for money to put on the exhibition, and as soon as they hear queer, they put down the phone. So you're just like, oh my God.
Yeah, well, the funding part just didn't go really well.
It didn't go well, but I suppose like it allowed us to be like entirely independent.
Yeah.
We could definitely do whatever we want. Like we could do whatever we wanted with it.
And the other thing is, we can agree on that we had an enormous support from Schwartz Group, the amazing guys at Schwartz.
They were like, they were 100% for it.
Yeah.
They loved it and they embraced it. And in that kind of way, it was almost like Queer Budapest times Schwartz Group, you know?
Exactly.
Yeah. Like this definitely wouldn't have happened. I don't think it would have been the same if it happened at another space.
Exactly. Yeah. Exactly.
I think what was so special about this was like it was so, everything just came together so well.
Yeah.
Everyone wanted to be involved. They wanted to work on it. You know, like whether you wanted to say like we were the curators or like we managed it kind of thing. I definitely felt like it was just like one big team of people working to bring this thing together.
Yeah. In a sense, I still feel that it was kind of a grassroots thing, precisely because not only Skurs group, the venue, the people from the venue supported us, but also the artists. I mean, it was an incredible energy coming from the artists to put together this exhibition, and also the what's that? Budapest Pride.
What? Sorry?
Sorry, it was Budapest Pride. And also...
How many times have we said queer in one episode?
I don't know. Yeah. Shall we just agree that the next episode just shouldn't be about queerness at all?
I think that's our whole brand. We can't not. But no, like, but yeah, like, it definitely was this whole grassroots kind of thing.
So anyway,
and I didn't expect for kind of any establishment to be involved or want to be involved or, you know, kind of thing. But like, you know, when we said to each other, we need to have a kind of like an educational platform. And also, like, you know, one of the artists, Charby Adam, also like, it also said, you know, like, it would be good to have like an educational platform.
Yeah.
So that's when Budapest Pride got involved and hosted a talk, and that's kind of when like I realized like we need to be doing this.
Exactly, and not only like, the exhibition, in a passive way, but also also the talk with So before, I was trying to say that Budapest Pride, Prisma Közösség, and the Háttértársaság, the three communities or initiatives which are actively helping LGBTQ plus people in Hungary, they gave an enormous support, like with their presence during the talk. With the three of them, just by accepting our invitation to talk about these kind of issues and these currents in the Hungarian scene, and not only in an artistic way, but also about a social issue.
Like 100%, it kind of. You know, it was kind of, I mean, I think, like, we can say, like, now, like, looking back, it all came together so wonderfully.
Absolutely.
but then, like, if people look on our Google Drive, they will just see spreadsheet after spreadsheet after spreadsheet of, like, of, like, random notes we've got written.
Absolutely. Yeah, it went fabulously.
But, like, I suppose now... What would you say Queer Budapest is becoming now?
I think
now that we've had the exhibition, what are we doing with it now?
I think it's definitely becoming more like, more like a grassroots initiative.
Yeah, like
at least a project.
Like, I would describe it as kind of like a platform.
Yeah, definitely.
Yeah, like a kind of like a exhibition platform and a launch pad, you know.
Absolutely. Just something that we could expand in a way that it serves people and artists, especially queer artists and LGBTQ plus artists in the long run, rather than being a brief period within the art world.
Yeah, and I definitely want to be something that the artists in the community, in the scene, can kind of take ownership of.
Absolutely.
Yeah, and not feel like we're just nitpicking specific people based on our own sort of...
Yeah, 100%.
Like personal taste for like aesthetic or like concept or work, but you know, there's something that people who are queer... and are saying something about that.
Absolutely.
Or working with that, you know, can take ownership of this and use the kind of community that we've got and the skills of other people that are involved, you know, the other artists, you know, this kind of thing, to kind of like help launch themselves, I suppose.
Absolutely, 100%.
That's what I want. That's what I want. So it's not
Me
really
too.
Us.
Shall we do it?
I'm, you know, I'm not sitting here like saying like savior kind of complex, like I'm going to launch your career. But like, I think it's kind of.
Yeah, but it's just.
It's interesting to be in that position of being like, here's a platform, do what you want with it.
Absolutely.
Because I think it was also very, like, I think it was also good to bring up in the exhibition, we didn't tell any of the artists what work we wanted from them.
Yeah. Yeah, that was an interesting part too, that we really didn't say anything, and we wanted, like, literally wanted artists to have this exhibition as a platform to yeah. introduce themselves in their true form.
Yeah, because as we were going along and through this process, like, there was something in the back of my mind, like, this could either go really, really well and it looked really cohesive, or it could end up looking like Art Basel, art, you know, like art fair booths of an individual.
Yeah, yeah.
You know?
Yeah.
Individual artwork. But it kind of came together in a really. We keep saying came together, but it did. It did. Like, it generally did just come together as like a completely like cohesive exhibition. It was like a clear narrative, you know. The narrative going from, you know, artwork out in the open, more political voice, to artworks dealing, you know, with LGBTQ spaces, and then like looking at the body and community.
Absolutely.
It really, you know, I mean, like, and you were there. I mean, what was the reaction from people?
Well, it was wonderful. I mean, I didn't expect so many like positive feedback coming from the audience, coming from or going to the exhibition. It was enormous. Crowd even during these hard times. We were lucky to have the venue there where it
yeah,
is.
Because you know, there was always the bit of the concern that, you know, despite like, you know, hand sanitizer, masks and social distancing being in place, that you know, that we got as much of a larger crowd as we did. Because, you know, Sports Group isn't exactly isn't in the centre of Budapest.
Yeah.
And, you know, but, like, it was amazing to see people, like, making their way to this exhibition. It was almost kind of like, it was almost like putting on, like, an underground event that kind of happened via word of mouth.
Exactly, but our aim is also to not to be an underground or a parallel thing to the to the mainstream, but just because we've got so many talented artists there,
yeah,
and still artists to represent. I think the important thing about Queer Budapest is to show that this kind of topic is not an underground thing. It has to happen within the mainstream.
It has to happen now, I suppose.
Yeah.
Wonderful. I think we did a good job.
Yeah,
you know?
Me too.
But I suppose we have to start thinking about, well, we already have started thinking about what's next and what's more to come. But yeah, there's many more artists that we've got left to represent, and you know, and we will, along with Queer Budapest, will evolve as like the queer community evolves and it changes and it takes on new forms and people come in and out of it and, you know, move. But it's definitely been eye-opening to see the amount of people that are interested in this sort of thing.
Absolutely.
And the overwhelming support that we got from the artists.
Yeah, sure.
Because they kind of took this and went 100% with it.
Yeah, and that we could bring together artists from many kind of parts of this very, very creative kind of art world. Like, that we could bring together people from the club culture, which is apparently happening in Hungary as well, not just in the UK.
It's not a cop, we know it's happening in Hungary. Amazing things are happening.
Yeah.
It's a shame that we couldn't do our own party.
Oh yeah. Yeah, we should do that next time.
That's 2021.
Yes. I'd love a wild queer party happening.
A wild big rave.
Yeah, so we could bring together...
I very nearly made a very sensitive joke then, but I won't.
So we could bring together this club culture with body politics and basically being queer or being an LGBTQ+ supporter artist within Hungary.
There's so many routes for us to go down. There's so much to explore.
Absolutely.
Which is why I think it's good that we're not giving ourselves a time limit for this.
And we just can't wait to people to come with us throughout this journey.
Come party with us. Come join us on the journey.
Yeah, absolutely.
So
we are slowly running out of time.
And we're but I think we've covered everything. I hope
that it was interesting of an insight into our project, and that we can take
people. I hope we also explained it well. I think we tried.
At least we tried. We can say we tried.
We tried. Okay, well.
Okay, so.
I suppose I'll see you next time.
And hopefully see the audience next time for our next episode of Queer Budapest.
Yeah, and also we are on Instagram and you can email us if you want to get in touch and find out anything more. We've got to plug the social media.
Thank you for listening us. Thank you, people. Bye-bye.
Thank you. Bye-bye.